Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Yes, indeed, as Christians, we are commanded by God to be compassionate people. But why is the church so uncompassionate towards those who are gay? It seems that we see two different extremes, don't we? We've got the churches who welcome and give full license to any lifestyle. And then we have the pendulum that swings to the other side and people holding signs and protesting homosexuality, and they're yelling profanities at people. And it just seems, you know, in the midst of all of this, that we forget to look to Jesus in all of this by reading Scripture. Would Jesus Christ do either of those things? I think not. And Jesus is both grace and truth. And that's how he handled every conversation perfectly. Well, today, friend, we continue our conversation with pastor and author Peter Hubbard. We're discussing his book titled Love into Light: The Gospel, the Homosexual, and the Church. On today's podcast, we'll discuss three things. Number one, what does it mean to be sexually broken? Number two, how is compassion often confused with affirmation? And number three, how does the church embrace this conversation and the tension within the gay conversation? Today's show is titled Compassion, Affirmation, and the Homosexual. The same-sex attraction that you're referring to, this design outside of God's marriage between one man, I guess we have to say one biological man and one biological woman now in our day and age. Can you touch on how same-sex attraction is the same desire that a heterosexual man or woman would have outside that covenant of marriage?
Yes. So the question often, the way that's typically phrased is, for someone who struggles with same-sex attraction, there is a sense in which they know, you know, or say, "I've always known I'm different. You know, you might be attracted to women. I'm attracted to men." So there is a clear brokenness, we would say biblically, which should not be surprising to anyone who understands the story of redemption, which begins with a perfect creation, but quickly introduces in Genesis 3 what is called the fall. So you have sin contaminating everything from motives down to biology. And the structure remains sound, but the brokenness is pervasive. And so therefore, it should not surprise us that people, all of us, are sexually broken. And we will manifest that sexual brokenness in different ways. Like some will, like for example, even, you know, whether you're heterosexual, would call yourself heterosexual, like that there's still a sexual brokenness there. There's still an attraction toward someone who's not your spouse, a perversion toward pornography or other temptations, and that varies with many people. So same-sex attraction, I would say, is another manifestation of our sexual brokenness that is the result of the fall.
You write, Peter, that compassion is often confused with affirmation. Can you say more on that?
Yeah, today there is this assumption that if you are a compassionate person, you will affirm, you know, whatever someone, you know, whatever someone's self-definition is. So if I define myself, you know, as gay, and you have compassion, the compassion of Jesus, it would be unloving of you not to affirm my self-definition. And I mention in the book and would believe that, like, that is not a biblical definition of love. And any parent knows that. You know, you don't even have to know the Bible to know.
Yeah.
The fact that your child self-identifies as one who runs into the street doesn't mean that you love them and let them run into the highway. You know, that's not love. So God doesn't treat us that way. Jesus did not, certainly did not interact with people when he was on earth that way. He had compassion on people, but he confronted them with their sin.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me, Peter, how it's almost like the culture has flip-flopped the definitions between love and hate. Because I'm sure you've heard the argument, look, if I don't tell you what you're doing is wrong, it's sinful from God's perspective, and once again, this isn't us speaking, this is the word of the Lord speaking here, that the truth, knowing the truth is loving. Does that make sense? Instead of withholding, withholding that kind of, you know, that odd, uncomfortable moment or the to embrace that tension inside this conversation, I would say that's unloving to not tell someone the truth. But the problem is, do you see us as the church? We don't kind of lead that conversation with grace. We just kind of come in all with truth like a hammer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's been the problem, is while the message of the church has been consistent, it has not always been compassionately consistent, in the sense that there are some horrible stories, and even recently, you know, you've got so-called churches that stand on street corners screaming out, that doesn't represent at all.
Amen.
The heart of Christ. So the difficulty is we go from there and then we go flying over to the other side, which is also a cliff, which is to the affirmation. And one of the burdens I had in writing the book was, you know, just seeing this flip-flopping rather than, if your eyes are locked in on Jesus, you're going to see, as he says, he's full of grace and full of truth. Like, we don't have to pick one or the other. And that would be my big burden, you know, that I can look somebody in the eyes and have compassion, and because I love them, tell them the truth. And that's not hate. That actually is as loving as a doctor who looks at a patient and says, you know, I love you, and therefore I'm ready to do surgery on the cancer that is killing you. It's the same heart.
Yeah. It's embracing, you know, when I was reading your book, I just over and over, it was like the Lord was saying to me, you need to embrace the tension inside this conversation. Because most of us, we don't want to do that. Some of us that are in the church that enjoy conflict, you know, I think we need to get our head checked. But, you know, that it was this, you were so encouraging, like, okay, let's embrace the conversation and embrace the tension. And in doing so, Peter, what I have found that when I do that, it's like, what do I really truly believe about this subject? So how do you embrace that tension that surrounds this conversation of homosexuality and gay marriage? How does your church engage the tension? and the uncomfortableness of it all. Well, Jesus said this about himself in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 33. He said, "For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating and drinking wine, and you say, well, he's possessed by a demon. And the Son of Man," that's Jesus' favorite name for himself, "the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and he drinks, and you say, well, this guy's a glutton, he's a drunkard, and he's a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it." In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what, guys, it doesn't matter what other people say about you. You'll never be able to do anything right in the world's eyes if you're following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So my encouragement to you is to read the scriptures, listen to the Holy Spirit, and know that you know that you know what God says about this very messy topic. Not just homosexuality, but what about abortion and transgender and all these other issues as well? Tomorrow, we continue our conversation with pastor and author Peter Hubbard in his book titled Love into Light, The Gospel, the Homosexual, and the Church. We'll specifically be discussing why church leadership has such a tough time being courageous and leading correctly in this area of sexuality. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. You could do me a favor and rate the show on iTunes. I would really appreciate that. And you can visit the website at dustindaniels.org and email me those questions. I would love to hear from you. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God." I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, as you continue to cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.